And immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And after he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already many stadia, that's about 600 feet apparently, so many 600 feet away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, that's somewhere around about 3 to 6 a.m., he came to them walking upon the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "Oh, you little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." And when they had crossed over and come to a land at Gennesaret, and when the men of that place recognized him, they sent into all the surrounding district and brought to him all who were ill. And they began to entreat him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak. And as many as touched it were cured. Amen. So, Andy, welcome. Please come and share with us.
Thank you, Graham. Well done. Thank you for leading us in our worship and sharing with us this morning. It's so lovely to be back with you again. And it's nice, isn't it, that we're becoming more and more normal, or back to normal, or new normal, or whatever normal you want to describe it as. But it's nice, isn't it, that we can be together again and feel a little more comfortable than we were a year and a half ago, or whatever. I'll try not to bust my glasses, but no, not at all. But it is great to be with you. Thanks for having us. And we've even had an invitation to stay for lunch as well. So splendid. Yeah, bonus. Brilliant. But it is great to be with you. And so you're following this series at the moment, Questions That Jesus Asked. And as we journey through, I don't know how many weeks you've already been on this or how many weeks ahead of you have, but as you journey, of course, through the Gospels, we discover that there are many questions that Jesus asked either individuals or groups of people. And so it's a good topic and a good theme to run through, questions that Jesus asked. Which brings us to our question this morning. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Well, of course, we've discovered in the Bible reading that Graham kindly shared with us, it was a question, of course, that Jesus asked Peter. There were others present, of course. We know that Jesus had... Well, of course, he had many friends, but he had those 12 special friends, didn't he, that we know as the disciples. And possibly, we don't know, possibly all 12 were in the boat on this occasion. They weren't all fishermen, but of course, they obviously got to know one another and mingle together. And so they might have all been in the boat. But if we look carefully, it was very much a question that Jesus asked Peter. It may have encompassed the others, but largely it was directed to Peter. Why did you doubt? And so this is our question this morning that we'll consider very simply, together. Why did you doubt? Now, I'll start by just sharing an experience with us. Some years ago, now it is a favorite Bible reading, this chapter, Matthew chapter 14, to the extent that some years ago, I was invited, no, I wasn't invited. I was a replacement for the one who was invited. There's a big difference between being the invited one and being the replacement for the invited one. So I think they still do it. I think up until a couple of years ago, they still sent us an invitation, actually. But there's a little group of churches and Christians down in Somerset, and during the summer, they get together and have a little weekend together, fun and fellowship and food and all this. So I think it started on the Friday night and goes through Saturday, Sunday, and possibly Monday, because I think it was the August bank holiday weekend. So down in Somerset, and they come, and various people bring tents and caravans and whatever. They have it like on a farmer's field somewhere. So that was good. And I remember they produced the leaflet. They produced the initial leaflet, all with the times and the dates and the sessions and that. And in the middle of the leaflet was a piece all about the one who they were supposed to have, you know, all about his exploits, what he'd done, like preached to 30,000 people in Brazil or something like this, you know. They didn't bother printing anything about me. They didn't bother printing anything, nothing to say. So there's a big difference between being the invited one and being the replacement. Actually, that's happened twice. I went somewhere else and I was the replacement. So if ever you need a reserve or a substitute, I'm your man, so it seems. but the point being is, it was split into sort of four sessions. So I did two sessions on the first part of this chapter, which is the feeding of the 5,000, and two sessions on this Bible reading that we have this morning, Peter walking on the water. It's nice and that, but it was in a tent. It was like they hired like a marquee and had the services in a marquee, which was nice for me because I'm of a generation where I was brought up when they were like still, can you remember the old tent missions? Yeah, and I'm showing my age now, obviously, but it was nice for me to have experienced that all the way through sort of growing up and then to actually be like speaking in one. It's a little bit emotional actually, but there we go. But the point being is I shared this feeling of the 5,000 and Peter walking on the water. And I'll never forget it. At the end of the weekend, some brother came up to me, like they do. Someone came up to me and said, yeah, because all we need sometimes is a kiss. All we need sometimes is a kiss. Yeah, kiss. K-I-S. Keep it simple. All we need is a kiss. The implication was what I'd shared was far too simple for them, and they were expecting something far more sophisticated than, well, should have had the other guy. Should have had the other guy who was in the Caribbean or wherever he went to. Turned down a better offer or whatever. So Peter. And of course, Peter finds himself here, along with the others, of course, in an uncomfortable position. It wasn't a scenario, I don't suppose, that Peter was unfamiliar with, because he was a fisherman, a hardened fisherman, and of course would have been very much used to being out on the lake fishing. But let's just, if we've still got our Bibles open and we're kind of following along, we can look at the situation that Peter finds himself in. So we're told it's night time, so it's dark, presumably. It's a dark night. We're told that they're out in the middle of the lake, okay? And depending on what version you're using, my version says that they were buffeted by the wind and the waves. So they're in a bit of an awkward spot. And so they're fearful. Of course they're fearful. Peter's fearful. The other disciples are fearful of the surroundings and the environment that they find themselves in. And so you could excuse Peter, couldn't you? You could excuse Peter and the other disciples for being somewhat fearful and afraid and doubts, of course. But of course, fear, you know, an experience that we all go through. Fear, what it is to be frightened, what it is to be afraid of perhaps a situation, a circumstance that we may find ourselves in, that we may be experiencing, that we may be going through. And who knows, there may be somebody even here in this room this morning who even right now is fearful of perhaps a situation, a circumstance, an experience that we might find ourselves in. And we've all known fear and the experience of fear. But of course, it's not fear that is our topic, it's doubt. It's doubt that is our topic this morning. Why did you doubt? And so before we go any further, let's discover the meaning of doubt. Yeah, we've probably all got an idea, an inkling of what doubt is. But let's remind ourselves of the meaning of doubt. And so the Oxford Dictionary tells us this. Doubt, a feeling of not being sure. A feeling of not being sure. The Cambridge Dictionary, very similar. Feeling of not being certain. So in both cases, we're told that the meaning of doubt is a feeling. A feeling of not being sure. A feeling of not being certain. So, let me use myself as an example then, just to make it a little more understandable. Fear and doubt. Yes, for me, stood here amongst us this morning, I might have a little fear. I might have a little fear that I might not be saying quite the right thing, or the delivery might not be right, or I might be a bit fearful that all I'm giving you is a bit of a kiss. just too simple. Keep it simple. And it might be so simple that you might not let us stay to lunch with you. So fear might be something that we all experience. But for me personally, doubt, no doubt. Well, there might be a little doubt in myself, the ability to deliver. But doubt in the Lord, no. There's no doubt there. I don't doubt the Lord. I don't doubt His Word, the Bible. I have no doubts about the Bible and about this gospel that we share together. I don't have any doubts. I don't have any doubts about that. And so for me personally, doubt isn't something I've ever personally experienced. Fear, yes, but doubt in God, doubt in the Lord Jesus, doubt in the gospel, no. No doubts there. And, you know, we can be sure and we can be certain. Remember what the meanings told us? Doubt, a feeling of not being sure, a feeling of not being certain. So I'm sure concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm certain of the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ. And but fear is something else. We all go through fear. And so Peter finds himself in this scenario, in this environment, in this situation where he finds himself. And so a dark night, the wind and the waves, the boat being tossed about by the wind and the waves out in the middle of the sea. And then on top of that, he hears the most frightening word that he ever heard. Come! Ah! Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come! Ah! And we know what happened. He got out of the boat. He got out of the boat and he began to walk on the water. He got out of the boat and he began to walk on the water. I don't know if you've ever read anyone that book. If you want to walk on the water, you've got to get out of the boat. John Ortberg, John Ortberg's book. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat, which is what Peter did. And if I'm sure many of us have, if we haven't, then I would strongly encourage us to. If you've never gone through particularly the Gospels and checked out Peter's life and checked out Peter's experiences, because as you journey through the Gospels, we discover an awful lot about Peter's life and his experiences. And it's not difficult. It's not difficult for us to, in many ways, identify ourselves with many of the things that we discover in Peter's life. And as we journey through the Gospels, we'll really find it quite easy to identify ourselves with Peter and some of his life experiences. And the wonderful thing about Peter is, towards the end of our Bible, we have recorded for us two letters that Peter wrote, two epistles that Peter wrote. And even as you look in those, you discover that Peter took with him and through life many of these experiences and recalled them to mind, and was able to be a help and a blessing to other people. And so here we go then. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come. And Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, which in itself is quite a statement, isn't it? Because you cannot see wind. You can see rain. You can see snow. But you cannot see wind. We can't see wind. You can see the effects of wind and what wind does and causes, but wind itself, you cannot actually see wind. You can see what it does, and so on this occasion, it buffeted the waves. And so the waves, and don't forget, this wasn't the first time that Peter and these guys would have experienced something like this. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, come. No wonder he's terrified, poor chap. Scared stiff. Come. He got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. He was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And he says to Peter, you of little faith, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? So that's the big question. Why did you doubt? And what we really want in the text is an answer. But there isn't one. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, that's not the answer, is it? That's not the answer we want. What we want is a 31B with an answer. But there isn't one. And the Lord has left us on our own in that sense. We're not alone, because he is the I am the great I am, and he'll never forsake us. And he's the one who is always with us. And he's the one who promises, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But here on this occasion, in a sense, we find ourselves a little bit alone looking for the answer. And Jesus has left us with the help of the Holy Spirit to piece together, if you like, a reason, an answer. Why did you doubt? Well, it might be helpful for us. It might even be helpful for us. I know the text is, why did you doubt? But it might be helpful for us to think more, what was it he doubted? Not just why, but what? What did he doubt? Did he doubt his own ability to walk on the water? Did he doubt that Jesus would reach out his hand and save him and catch him? I wonder what it was he doubted. But the question, of course, is not what did you doubt, but why? Why did you doubt? Well, perhaps Jesus, of course, himself gives us a little clue in the previous statement. Perhaps the clue is there. You of little faith. And genuinely, at that moment, perhaps Peter's faith was little. I'm not a great fan of commentaries and things that other people wrote and say in situations like this. But there is two that I did kind of take note of. Peter trusts in Jesus, comes to him as invited, but then takes his eyes off of the Lord and focuses on the crisis and begins to sink. And we can all identify with Peter. Periods of great faith followed by doubt. Periods of great faith, perhaps, followed by doubt. And I suppose equally the other way round. Doubt followed by great faith, perhaps. Remember what doubt is, or the description of doubt. It's just a feeling of not being sure or certain. And some of us may remember or be familiar with Charles Price, some of us have maybe even heard speaking Charles Price. When he stepped out of the boat, the power of the Lord was stronger to Peter than the power of the wind and the waves. But now, the wind and the waves had become stronger to him than the Lord Jesus. And not only did he become afraid, but he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? The problem was, suggests Charles Price, not the impossibility of the situation, but his lack of trust. But of course, doubt, if we just focus in our minds. Doubt, of course, this experience of doubt wasn't the only experience of doubt that Peter found himself in, and the others, of course. Now, let's just think for a moment. Can you remember when Jesus went back to heaven? It's recorded at the end of Matthew's gospel. Jesus called them to the mountain that he told them to go to. And the text, the Bible text tells us that when they got to that place, it says, they worshipped him, but some doubted. They worshipped him, but some doubted. And of course, an even more perhaps well-known, familiar one to us occasion will be, of course, the occasion with Thomas. With Thomas, of course, after our Lord's resurrection, Well, the Bible tells us that it was the first day of the week when Jesus rose again, and Jesus appeared in the upper room where the doors were locked. He appeared to the disciples and he ministered peace unto them. Peace be with you. But the text tells us that Peter was not with them when the Lord came. Thomas wasn't with them when the Lord came. And then we move on, and the text tells us a week later, they were together again. And Thomas this time was with them, which means presumably that Peter was there as well. Peter must have been in the room and saw this dialogue with Jesus and Thomas. And Thomas, can you remember what Thomas said? He says, unless I see the nail marks, John chapter 20, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, I will not believe. That's what Thomas actually says. Not just doubt, but he says, I will not believe. And Jesus, of course, graciously offers Thomas that invitation. Thomas, look at my hands. See the wound in my side. And then Jesus says to Thomas, stop doubting. Stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus says, Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. But blessed are those who haven't seen me and yet believe. Now, if you like, that's us this morning. We're in that company. We haven't seen with our own eyes. We weren't there 2,000 years ago when Jesus lived and died on the cross and rose again. We weren't there. And so with these human physical eyes, we haven't seen because we weren't there. And Jesus wonderfully says of us, blessed are those who haven't seen and yet believe. Well, that, friends, that's us. That's us this morning. And so, yeah, so doubt, Peter, doubt was very much an experience that Peter and the other disciples. But, you know, the Bible does teach us, and particularly perhaps for those of us this morning who are believers in the Lord Jesus, the Bible does teach us a little something about doubt and encourages us very much not to doubt. And we have recorded for us in the book of James a message for us as believers. It's just there in James chapter 1 and verse 6. And it says, you must believe. You must believe and not doubt. You must believe and not doubt. And then it gives us a description, if you like, which is very interesting because it connects nicely with the Bible reading this morning. It says, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind, unstable. And so the Bible encourages us and instructs us, particularly as Christians, not to doubt. You must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, tossed and blown about by the wind, unstable. Well, you know, we can know what it is to be certain and sure, not to be doubtful or unstable. Why did you doubt? Peter, why did you doubt? And of course, it's a very personal question. It was a question that Jesus directed personally to Peter. And, you know, as we come back just to the question, why did you doubt? Well, I suggested to us that, you know, concerning the things of God and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and salvation that there is in Jesus, I have no doubts. I have no doubts. And there may be others here in this room this morning. We don't doubt those things concerning the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But what about us this morning? What about others here, perhaps in this room with us this morning? Why did you doubt? It may be that we're here this morning and we do doubt. We have doubts concerning God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We may have doubts concerning his birth, that he was born of the Virgin Mary, the virgin birth. We may have doubts concerning his wonderful life or the miracles that he did and performed. We may doubt this story even this morning, this experience even this morning. We may doubt concerning his teachings and his death for us on the cross of Calvary, that he was buried, and perhaps we may certainly have a doubt concerning his resurrection, or perhaps concerning things that we read in the Bible. We may be here this morning, and we may well doubt some of those things. And so, what we want is an answer, isn't it? What we're looking for is a suggestion, a resolution into doubt, if you like. Well, if we just glance quickly through this passage here that we have before us, and Graham has already graciously, in a sense, shared this with us this morning. I am who I am. And Ian, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Well, there, if you look at this text this morning, our experience, Peter's experience this morning, Jesus said to Peter, simplest, smallest, tiniest words you would ever find. Jesus said to him, "It is I." That's what Jesus simply, lovingly, graciously said to Peter. He said, "Peter, take courage. It is I. I'm here. I'm here with you. It's me. Peter, you're afraid. You're doubting. But I'm here with you. It is I. Don't be afraid. And you know, lovingly and graciously, our wonderful Lord still utters those words to us. He uttered them to Peter and he utters them to us. Even this morning, our Lord would say to us, "It is I. Don't be afraid. It is I. Don't be afraid." And also, similarly, like Peter invited Jesus, Jesus invited Peter, "Come." You know, Jesus still invites us to come to him. It was an invitation to Peter. Come. We've been invited to lunch this morning, this afternoon, whatever you want to call it. And Jesus still invites us. And if we're weary, and if we're tired, and if we're burdened, Jesus still invites us to come unto him. And in him we'll find rest. "Come unto me," Jesus says. Come unto me. And you know, it might be this morning that in a sense we have to cry out to the Lord, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." We might be crying out to the Lord. We might be saying that to the Lord even right now in our own lives. "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." And the Bible tells us that he is able to save. He is able to save. And Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And Jesus is still reaching out his hand. And he's still catching us. He's still lovingly, graciously reaching out his hand and catching us. I'm just going to finish with just a suggestion. Again, it's an occasion where doubt comes to play. Is it the four? Again, it's after our Lord's resurrection and the disciples are together. And this one's at the end of Luke's gospel. Wonderful, wonderful. Right at the end of Luke's gospel there. And the disciples are there together and still they're afraid. They're frightened. Have you noticed that after our Lord's resurrection, how many people are frightened and terrified? And Jesus says to them this as they're gathered together. Jesus says to them this. Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Why do doubts rise in your minds? And Jesus says again, look, it's me, I'm here. He says, look at my hands and my feet. It is I, it's me, myself. And he's there with them. And so Jesus, if you like, yeah, to Jesus we go. Like here on the boat, in the boat, the suggestion is perhaps that Peter took his eyes off the Lord and focused more on the wind and the waves and the what was going on around him. Jesus says, I'm here. It's I. And you know, I'm of a generation where we don't sing songs that we sometimes used to sing some time ago, but there's an absolute pearler. An absolute pearler. A beauty. And some of us will be of an age and a generation where we can remember these words. And it's from the lovely song. We don't sing it now, I don't believe. It's from the lovely one. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way. And the second verse goes like this. When doubts and fears arise, teach me thy way. When storms o'erspread the skies, teach me thy way. Shine through the cloud and rain, through sorrow, toil, and pain. Make thou my pathway plain. Teach me thy way. And Lord, as we draw to a close this morning, we would come to you and we would say, Lord, when doubts and fears arise, Lord, teach us your way. And Lord, we thank you that you are with us. In the boat, on the lake, as it were, in the storm, you are with us. And you still say to us, it's me. It's me. Don't be afraid. And Lord, we thank you for your wonderful presence in our lives. Lord, we thank you. And so may these experiences be our experiences this morning. That, Lord, we're certain and we're sure concerning the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his offer of life to each one of us. And as we sometimes sing, we have a hope that is steadfast and certain. And we pray, Lord, that that might be our experience this morning. As we give you our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. And the text ends up with getting back in the boat and worship. Then they worship. Truly, you are the Son of God. It all ended up in worship. Praise the Lord. God bless you.